There's a handout on your table, and at the top it says Reading the Bible One-to-One. And we're particularly going to think about reading the Bible with non-Christians, with unbelievers, today. But a lot of the skills that we're going to talk about would be transferable if you were reading with a Christian. But we're going to focus most of all on reading with non-Christians. And one-to-ones are a great way of sharing the gospel with people. All a one-to-one is two people meeting up informally, but on a fairly regular basis, looking at the Bible together. We're going to spend the second half of the morning thinking about a lot of practicalities and doing some of the kind of training stuff. But for now, what title would you give this talk? In the last 2 minutes of hearing that we're going to talk about one-to-ones with unbelievers, I'm prone to renaming talks in my head. So what have you renamed it? Some of us might have renamed it, Have You Lost Your Mind? That's my favourite title for this talk. Reading the Bible one-to-one with a non-Christian friend, Have You Lost Your Mind? It's not something I would ever do. Or maybe your title is, Here We Go, Another Thing St. Helens Is Telling Me To Do. It's very unreasonable to expect so much of me. That's a kind of common response, I think, to things like this. Maybe you're just thinking, Can I really do this? Can I actually do a Bible study with a friend? And I think it's an idea that we all approach with some trepidation, because the idea of asking someone if they want to study the Bible with you and then actually doing it, it just sounds a bit awkward, I think. And it sounds a bit pushy, or it just sounds a bit pointless. And I don't think that's a feeling that we can blame on being British, partly because half of us here probably aren't British. And actually, I think that reluctance is just really normal. It's a spiritual issue. And is presumably why God included a whole chapter in Mark's Gospel that is designed to give us confidence on this particular topic, that sharing God's word really is a good idea. It's a spiritual issue. God knows we need help with it. And so we're going to look at a tiny parable that Jesus tells. It is 4 verses long, and it is from chapter 4 of Mark's Gospel. And it's going to help us see that not only can you do a one-to-one, but it's actually a really good idea, and that you should have big-time confidence to go for it. I haven't lost my mind. Actually, this is a very sensible thing to be talking about. So let me read it. It's at the top of your page, and I'll read it. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. And the seed sprouts and it grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Okay, so there's a man, he's got a field. He plants some seed. He just chucks it out there, he scatters it on the ground. And then, like any good farmer, he leaves it to grow. He goes to bed, he gets up, he does other farmer things. He polishes his tractor and hangs out with the geese. I don't know what farmers do. He goes to bed again, he gets up, the same. He goes to bed, he gets up. And all that time, the seed just starts growing. He doesn't understand how. He's not a biologist or a botanist. It just starts growing by itself. And it keeps growing until there's a harvest. And that's when he goes back to work. He gets out his sickle or his combine harvester and he reaps the harvest. Okay, so what's going on here? And this parable comes in chapter 4 of Mark's Gospel. And I highly recommend, actually, if you've got some time this week, just read the whole chapter. You'll see how the ideas in the chapter all work together. It's a real belter. But it's a whole chapter of parables that work together to help us understand that the kingdom of God grows when people listen to Jesus' words. The whole chapter helps us know that the kingdom of God grows when people listen to Jesus' words. And in the first parable of the chapter, not this one, but a much longer one, Jesus explains that the seed is the word, his word. And he helps us see that we want to be really good listeners of that word. We want to listen, we want to grow, and we want to listen to Jesus. But as we read that first parable, there's just this question in the back of our mind. Does it really work? I mean, what an odd thing to say. Does that really work, just listening to Jesus' words, and that's going to grow the kingdom? Because, yeah, in that first parable, there are people who are good soil, and they grow, and they listen. But there are three other soils that either never get going, or they never produce any fruit. Three out of four fail. And I studied economics. That is not good. We might be feeling some anxiety about this strategy of Jesus, which is where this tiny parable comes in. It's a real shot in the arm of confidence that the kingdom really does grow. And maybe you are already seeing the ways that it's told to give us this confidence that the kingdom will grow. But let's just pick out two things that are particularly going to help us have confidence to do a one-to-one. Because if you're going to do a one-to-one, you need to think like a farmer. You need to think like a farmer. First of all, notice that the farmer doesn't know how the seed grows. He doesn't know how it grows. Did you spot that? He just goes to sleep night and day. He goes to bed and it grows. And Jesus tells us he knows not how. He's not an expert on the kind of biology and the cells and the seed and the germination. He hasn't got a clue. He just sows the seed and he goes to sleep and it grows. My dad is a bit of an epic gardener. And he's into, at the moment, he's into climbing courgettes. Has anyone else come across climbing courgettes? There's only one place you can get them, apparently. But they go all the way up a trellis thing and all the way down. So you can get more courgettes. Not that we need more courgettes. There's always a glut. But the thing he doesn't do is lie awake at night worrying about them. You know, there's tomatoes as well. And he likes to do niche varieties of tomatoes. And he does them from seeds. And you open the airing cupboard in the spring. And there's just all these little trays of soil. And it's the seeds waiting to grow. He never lies awake at night worrying about it. He doesn't know how the seed grows to be a plant. He just sows the seed and it happens. He trusts that it's going to work. And so it is with one-to-ones. And we don't understand how it really works. I mean, the actual mechanics of what's going on. The word, it just grows, Jesus tells us. And we trust him when he tells us it does. Like, I don't really understand how it is that standing up here now and teaching you a bit of the Bible really changes you in a deep and spiritual way. But it works. And so I trust Jesus and we get on with it. So it is with one-to-ones. We don't need to understand exactly how it works. We just need to think like a farmer, sow the seed, and trust that it's going to do the job. It doesn't happen overnight. Notice that it happens over time. The farmer goes to sleep and he gets up night and day. There's this kind of time period in the parable where he's waiting for the harvest. It's not a kind of one-hit wonder. You're not going to meet with your friend once and look at one chapter of Mark's gospel and suddenly they're going to say, lead me to Jesus. I mean, they might. The Lord is very powerful, but it happens over time. But he just trusts that it works. He doesn't have to understand how it grows. So that's the first way we can think like a farmer. And the second way we can think like a farmer is to understand he can't make the seed grow. So did you notice that as well? It's the earth producing by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. He can't make it grow. He can't do anything to help it along. You know, if you imagine every evening if he went back to the seed that he'd sown and he dug them all up just to see how they were getting along. Or he thought, I'm going to help this along a bit and kind of cut the seeds open or something. That wouldn't make it grow faster. He can't go and stand in the field and just, with the power of his mind, make the crop grow faster. He can't make it grow. It does it by itself. It's the same with the courgettes in the garden. Dad just plants the seeds. He does the job of the farmer, but he can't make them grow any faster. He can't magically produce giant courgettes or anything like that. There's nothing he can do. He just has to wait. So it is with the word. We can't make it grow. It's not our job. We just have to trust that it does work and that it will grow. There's no technique. There's no silver bullet. There's no magical approach to making the word grow. We just keep sowing it, and we trust Jesus when he says that it will grow. Now, I am going to give you loads of practical advice in a minute. But even then, I think it's worth saying it's not some special technique that guarantees that your friend will become a Christian. It's just hopefully helpful, godly wisdom to help you along. But all of that is not to leave us feeling despondent. It's actually meant to give us real confidence. Because our confidence is the one who does the growing in our Heavenly Father. It's not on me to do something special or to have some particular skill or some particular approach to help someone become a Christian. It's all on the Lord. He's the one who grows the seed. He's the one who grows his kingdom. My job is just to get the seed out there. So think like a farmer. We don't know how it grows. We trust that it does. We can't make the word grow. We just trust that it does. So when it comes to one-to-ones, let's go for it. I think this parable affords us some real liberty to realize that we can just get on with sharing God's word with people and letting God do the work of growing his kingdom. What if I don't know the answer to a question my friend asks? Or what if they don't want to do it anymore? What if they don't like what the passage says? There are so many what ifs, so many things that we worry about. But Jesus reminds us in this parable that it's not our job to grow the kingdom. We just need to trust that it will grow. Now, is this saying that if I read the Bible with my non-Christian friend, they'll definitely become a Christian? Well, no, I don't think it is, because this parable is about the kingdom of God as a whole and not individual people. But it still gives us real confidence to go for it, because collectively, if we're all sowing the word and getting the word out there, then collectively we're going to see some harvest. But it may not be our particular friend that becomes a Christian this time. Just get the word out there. There will be a harvest, and we can look forward to enjoying that together. Okay, we're going to take a tiny break, and there's some questions in the box at the bottom of the sheet. So we're going to break for about 10 minutes, and around your tables there's a couple of questions just to think about, so why not spend 5 minutes talking about those, and then why not spend 5 minutes praying together about the things that you've been hearing from God. I'll call us back together in 10 minutes. Let's just draw back together there. Make that your last prayer. Don't worry, we'll do more praying at the end. Don't fret. If you turn your hand out over, we're going to think about some practical things, because I wonder if, some of the fears that you talked about were just, well, how would I do this and what would I say? So we're just going to run through a whole load of practical things. Actually, can I have a... Oh, yeah. I just changed it. About how to go about this. I think it's worth saying, it's not for everybody. Reading the gospel with a non-Christian, it won't be right for every non-Christian friend that you have. But it's probably a good idea for more of them than you think. And it really is possible to do it. So how do we go about this? Okay, the first thing you need to do is ask, right? But you need to think about what you're going to say. You don't have to ask someone to do a Bible study with you, especially if they've never read the Bible before, which is just really normal these days for people, isn't it? They've never cracked open the Bible. So Bible study sounds a bit terrifying. But asking someone, well, would you like to look at the Bible or a bit of the Bible together, just sounds slightly less intimidating. You also don't have to ask them to study the whole of Mark's Gospel or the whole of John's Gospel, which again just sounds overwhelming and like you're asking them to make some massive commitment. Why not just suggest looking at the first chapter? Hey, we could look at a chapter of Mark together. Would you like to do that? If they agree, and then when you get to the end of your first meeting, you can just say, well, did you like that? Would you like to look at a bit more? And then just go from there. We talked a little bit around our table about what if they say no. And maybe they will say no, but you will never know until you ask. So why not give it a go? There's a few different ways that you might find the opportunity to ask them. So it might be that you just need to be really bold and you've got someone in mind and you can just say to them, look, hey, you know I'm a Christian. I'd love to talk to you about that more. Would you like to, you know, look at a bit of the Bible together? So you just start, you kind of make the conversation happen. But it might be that you're having a conversation anyway about Christian things, about church, about something you're about to go and do. And you could just ask them, well, you know, have you ever looked at the Bible as an adult? Is that something you've ever done? Or maybe they say something about the Bible. Someone on our table said that a mum they knew just started talking about who wrote the Bible and things like that. That's a plum opportunity. Just go, well, I know. Do you want to look at it together? So it might be that an opportunity just really easily presents itself, but it might be that you can be a bit bold and make it happen. If they say no, they say no. Doesn't matter, does it? You just keep the friendship going and pray for other opportunities. But they might say yes, and that's when we're going to feel like we're going to vomit, because what do we do now? Oh, and they've said yes, and I've actually got to do it. Oh, darn it. So, praise the Lord, your friend says yes. What should you do? Okay, do a little bit of preparation. And by preparation, I don't mean kind of hardcore Bible study prep. I just mean give it some thought. So P-R-T-A on your sheet. First thing is to pray. And we've said, haven't we, this morning that it's God who builds his kingdom. He grows the word. So let's just express our dependence on him and ask him to be doing that work. Pray for your friend, pray for yourself, pray for the meeting. Let's just get praying. Second, read the passage that you're going to look at. Just get to know it. Again, it's not hardcore RML kind of prep. Just get to know the passage, get to know the chapter. What stories are we talking about? Is it a bit that actually you haven't thought about for a while? Just get familiar with it. And then there are a couple of things that you can do just to make sure you're ready. So think is T. Think about the big things that you want to draw out from the passage. We're not going to cover every detail in this discussion, but just notice, this is a passage where Jesus does a lot of healing, and that's something I want to talk about. Or this is a passage where Jesus talks about what he's come to do, and that's the thing I'm going to hope to talk about. Just try and spot the big area that you hope the conversation will focus on. And then A is for anticipate. So just make a note of anything you think could be a little tricky point or a sticking point, something that's unusual. What are the classics? I mean, there's all sorts of bits that can send a discussion off piece. You think about the healing of the demoniac in Mark's Gospel when Jesus sends the evil spirits into the pigs and 2,000 pigs rush off the cliff. It's an odd moment in Mark's Gospel, and it's not the main thing you want to spend all your time talking about, but it's the kind of thing people pick up on. So just think about what is an easy answer I can give. to help people with that. So pray, read, think, anticipate. Just kind of have a sense of where you want to go in the discussion. And then do think about the location where you're going to meet. So lots of you, I guess it'll be easy to meet in homes, and that's ideal. But coffee shops are great as well. But just choose somewhere that you both feel relaxed. If it's a cafe, I think somewhere between not too crowded and not so quiet that everybody can hear what you're talking about, because people who aren't Christians might just feel really uncomfortable talking about Jesus in a public place. I often, with a new one-to-one, do a little recce beforehand, so I either get there early or I go before to find the right cafe. Think about a location where they're going to feel relaxed. You're not going to be praying together or anything like that, but yeah, just think about the vibes. Okay, what are you going to do during your meeting together? Well, again, this is a kind of obvious thing to say, but I think we need to say it out loud. You need to get started. And we all know what it's like when you meet up with a friend. It is very easy to just spend the whole time talking about your news and about life. And I find that even with the Christian girls that I do one-to-one with. If we've got a lunch hour together, suddenly half an hour is gone just talking about whatever boy is annoying them or whatever. And you just have to do the gear change and say, right, should we get down to some Bible study? Now, that's with the younger girls. But with your friend, just don't wait for a natural kind of moment where they're going to go, oh, should we do some Mark? You need to do it. And it will feel a little bit awkward, but just shift the gear. And when there's a pause, say, hey, we were gonna look at Mark, weren't we? Should we do that now? It's helpful as well just to say how long you're going to do it for. So just say, let's just do it for 20 minutes or something. Because again, for someone who's really uncomfortable with the idea of studying the Bible or looking at the Bible, giving them an end point helps them know that you're not going to kind of trap them there for 3 hours and try and like convert them on the spot. So just make it super easy. Say, let's just do it for 20 minutes and then we can talk about something else. So you've got to get started, shift the gear. And then what are we trying to do when we open up a bit of the gospel with someone? I think really simply, we're just trying to show them Jesus. We're just trying to show them Jesus. That's why we're talking about reading gospels with friends, because that is what the gospels are doing. How do we do this? Well, you need to ask questions. But make them really relaxed and open. Help your friend process the story. So don't ask questions that have a yes-no answer. That's kind of like being back at school, and that's not what we're doing. You're not the teacher and they're the pupil. You're two mates getting together and just looking at something and talking about it. But ask kind of relaxed, open questions. What do you make of this? What do you make of what Jesus is doing? Get them to process what's happening and notice things. I think in a one-to-one with an unbeliever, you can give a lot of things away. So if you've been to an RML study, you'll know that we work people quite hard. We make them think. And there's a lot of like faces like this. I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on. It's not an RML study. That's not what we're doing. You're just walking alongside someone as they're introduced to Jesus. So make it easy. You can help them understand the story. Give stuff away. And you can say, look, so Jesus is in the temple, you can explain something about the Pharisees, you can explain a little bit of what's going on, point things out to them, because the main thing we want to do is ask them what they think about it. So we don't want to test them so hard on just understanding the story that we never get to hear what they're making of it. That's what we want to get to. So ask them what they think. And then listen to the answer. Be a good listener. Because actually, from what they say, you're going to get more and more of an idea of actually where they are in their understanding of Christianity. Now, when you ask questions, you might want to have some kind of little set of guidelines in your head of the kind of things that you want to look at. So, three simple questions to get into Mark's gospel are, who is Jesus? Why did he come? And what does that mean for us? And you could ask those three questions, I'll say them again in a second. You could ask those three questions of any passage in Mark, and you would get to the heart of it. You would get the main things. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? What does that mean for us? But it doesn't have to be a really formal kind of back and forth. So as I've said, share the things that you enjoy about the passage. Make it more of a discussion. If you find things surprising, say so. If you find something a bit hard to understand, say so. Remember, we're just trying to show people Jesus and get them looking at God's word. He'll do the work of growing them. You just make it easy for them to see it. And don't worry about covering every detail. Again, it's not RML, it's not Central Focus. We don't need them to be able to come away and give a kind of full summary of all the key points. We just want them to think about the Lord Jesus. Who is he? What is he like? What difference does that make for us? So ask them all sorts of questions that help them process the implications of what they're seeing. Questions like, if this is true, what do you think that means for us? It's a great question because you've slightly caveated it with if it's true. You know that it is, but give them a kind of easy way to discuss it. If this is true, what are the implications? What difference does that make for us? Get them to process the implications. Make it easy. It's not a test. So we're not trying to catch them out. We don't want them to feel stupid. We don't want them to feel like you're kind of some guru and they're having to impress you or anything like that. Make it easy. And don't try to win every battle. So it might be that your friend is very hostile and very quite into it because they want to prove you wrong, or I don't know, they might have a lot of things to say about what they think about Jesus, about the gospel. You don't have to win every battle, because hopefully this is a process that happens over time. Remember the farmer. He's sowing the seed, but it's happening over time. It's growing slowly, and he doesn't know how. He doesn't see it straight away. So, if something comes up and it's quite tricky and you don't agree, don't fight to the death in that moment. You want to keep the door open for another opportunity and keep showing them Jesus. That's the point of this. You're holding the gospel out to them and saying, look at this. It's not about a kind of ding-dong with you. So you don't have to win every battle. Speak the truth, stand up for the truth, but be gentle and be patient. This happens over time. And then what do you do afterwards? Well, at the end, you could say, do you want to look at a bit more? Did you enjoy that? Have you got any questions, or do you want to talk about it again? Give them the opportunity to say they would like to do it more, and in your head, be praying your socks off for hunger. And if they say yes, make a plan, pop a date in the diary. And if they don't want to carry on, don't worry. You've given it a go. The Lord knows. The Lord's going to use it. You could ask them why and use that as an opportunity again to find out where they're at. But just don't freak out. I think a lot of our fears come from thinking, what if they don't want to do it? What if they say no? What if they don't like it? It's not your job. You can't make it grow. Your job is just to find ways to scatter the seed. Now, there's a couple of resources that will help you. So you're not totally being chucked in at the deep end without any armbands. But there are a few armbands available. One is the Word One-to-One, which looks like this. You've probably seen it. Has anyone used this? A few people. Yeah, so if someone on your table has used it, why not ask them about it? But this takes you through John's Gospel. And the thing that's quite nice about it is it has the text in it. And then it has a lot of information about what's going on. So again, that thing of not making it a test, this book does it really well because it just gives you both the information and then I think has a couple of questions to think about. So that's quite a useful resource. People like that. It's quite led, so you're kind of working through it together. So if that works for you, go for that. And then the other thing that you might find helpful is this little set of notes called Reading Mark. And they're on the website, but there's a few copies around. So if you want to take that home, then do. And this is a set of notes we wrote off the back of Mark RML. And for each passage, there's just a very short bit of text that just helps you think about what is the main thing the passage is saying. So just the kind of Reader's Digest highlights about Jesus. It's got a few kind of supplementary questions that might help. And then also, it deals with some of those tricky questions. So if you're reading through Mark's Gospel, hopefully we've spotted the red herrings and given you an easy answer to help your friend. At the back, it's also got a glossary, because we found that a lot of non-Christians just don't know what a lot of words in the Gospels mean. Like, what is the temple? Who's David? What's a Pharisee? Who's Moses? What's the law? And you don't want to get bogged down in those kind of details. But this glossary gives you enough of an answer to satisfy them without opening 17 cans of worms as you try and explain it. That's what how we wrote it. And then there's a map with just the things from Mark's Gospel, because again, it's just really helpful, isn't it, to show people it's real events happening in real places. So hopefully there's lots of help in there. You can get it on the website, and it might be the kind of thing you just use in your preparation, but some people have also used it as a little study book with a friend, and they've had two copies. The other book you might find helpful if you're just feeling quite anxious about how to write a Bible study is One to One by David Helm. It's easy to get from 10 of those, and it's usually on the bookstall. And that's got some helpful tips on questions, if you find that writing questions helps you.